Welcome to the Growing in Grace podcast, where you can listen in on some casual conversation about the good news of Jesus without all of the inconsistent religious double talk. If you've ever struggled with feelings of hopelessness, guilt, and despair, or wondered if you're really right with God, it's time to discover the true freedom that comes with the gospel of unlimited and overflowing grace.
All right, it's time for the podcast, the Growing in Grace podcast. My name is Joel Brizeke. Mike Kapler is with me. Hey, Cap, a priest, a pastor, and a rabbit walk into the blood donation clinic. The nurse says to the rabbit, "What type are you?" The rabbit, again, it's a priest, a pastor, and a rabbit. The rabbit answers, "I think I'm probably a type O."
I don't get it.
I'm a typo. A priest, a pastor, and a rabbit.
Oh, brother. I can't believe it took me a second to get that.
Yeah, I thought you were the wise guy. I thought you would laugh and laugh and laugh.
Well, that's a pretty good one. I used to tell a lot of jokes. And I don't know. I guess I'm just not around as many people anymore. And so I'm a little rusty, I guess.
Either that or you're just not funny. No, you're. Yeah, I'm just kidding.
No, that couldn't be it.
Yeah, no. He's the funny guy. Anyway, you should labor to understand my jokes more.
Well, it's Labor Day this week, right?
Labor Day. That's right. We post this generally on a Sunday. This would be August 31st. And for you YouTube people, a lot of times it'll get posted around 9:30 Central Time on Saturday evening even. So, but anyway, yeah, this week, Monday, in the United States anyway, it's known as Labor Day. And it's basically celebrating the workforce of this wonderful country.
You know, we've been talking about repentance, repenting to repent. And what a lot of people are really saying without, well, some people might actually mean what they say. Other people are at least implying that this thing that they call repentance is really about works. It's really a requirement. This is how it comes across a lot of times, is this, you must do something to be saved. And if that's one's definition of repentance, man, we're going to have to get a black highlighter out on a whole bunch of other different Bible verses that will not agree with that. What do you think, Joel? I mean, isn't that really how some people are coming across, is when we start talking about grace through faith, salvation, justification, sanctification, all of that, grace through faith as a gift, the righteousness of God as a gift apart from works. When somebody says, "Hold the phone," first you got to repent. You need to change your behavior. You need to clean up your act. And as we brought up in previous programs, what does that mean exactly? How much less sinning must you do in order to be saved? You see the slippery slope here kind of mixing in? Well, you can't just go out and do whatever you want. And look, I mean, if you need help in your life because it's a mess right now and you've just kind of come to the end of your rope, so to speak, you just don't know where to turn, things have not gone well, you don't know what to do, you need help, obviously there are resources for you to have here in this world, in this life, in your community. But God wants to be there for that too. He wants to help you turn it around, right? He wants to help get things in your life so that they're better and less depressing and get more joy and peace in your life. I mean, that certainly that's the case. I mean, the book of Hebrews talks about that. We can come boldly before the throne of grace and seek help in time of need. But to define repentance as just improving your works or trying to stop doing bad stuff and start doing good stuff, you still have to answer the question, how much is enough? And what are the specifics of that? What does it look like? Or you can just believe in Jesus, that he did enough to make you righteous, and allow the Spirit from within to begin teaching you, leading you, guiding you. He desires to work in and through us and to get to know him, to get to know Jesus. He represents Jesus, to know him, the power of his resurrection. This is just not academically understood. It's a spirit thing. And repentance is, it goes much deeper than just changing behavior, right?
Right.
As we've talked about in recent programs, if you missed them, go back to the last couple of programs and see that repentance from a biblical perspective, the word simply means in the New Testament, it simply means to have a change of mind. So when Jesus told Jewish people, repent and believe the gospel, he was actually trying to get them off of the works bandwagon and onto faith.
Right. And with that faith, what happens is that instead of having their faith in themselves and in their own works, their faith becomes in somebody else. So what people are doing when they are putting this burden, it's really a burden of repentance, turning from sin in order to be saved. It's taking what Jesus did, taking the load that he bore, and putting some of it back on ourselves. He already bore the whole load. He already took. He already bore the cross. He already took it all upon himself. There's nothing left that we can do. And yet people are sticking some of that back on ourselves. When he himself said, back in Matthew 11:28, looking ahead to the new covenant, he said, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He didn't say, I will give you some stuff to do. I will give you a list of things to do. You know, I will give you some things to accomplish so that you can finish what I started. You know, he didn't say anything like that. He said, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And there are a lot of people who don't realize that in Christ, when we have placed our faith in him, we have entered into his rest. It's a fact for us. We've ceased from our works, and we are now in his rest. There's unfortunately a lot of people who don't know that, and they're not really experiencing that because they are trying, just because of ignorance, usually. And we talked about that a while back, the word ignorance. It just means they don't know. They don't understand. It's not a bad word. It's just that they're lacking in the knowledge or the understanding that Christ really did do everything, and there's nothing left that we can do. And so when they've put their faith in him, they think there's still something left that they need to do. Make sure that they've turned from every little sin. And again, it's good to do that, but it has nothing to do with our salvation. You know, whether we turn from every little thing that we've ever done or turn from very little as far as sin, the fact that we're saved and justified and all that is based upon the blood of Jesus Christ, his death and his resurrection, and not upon what we do. And that's not saying that work or labor is a bad thing. We just got to put it in the right perspective. You know, Cap, we were talking beforehand and you brought this up. So I want to give you credit for bringing this up. You need the credit. Got to give Cap the credit. But
all glory goes to Paul on this one.
All glory to Paul. So I just love what he says, because Paul went around preaching a really, really great message. He did a lot of work. A lot of things happened. A lot of great things happened because of the labor that Paul performed, because of the things that he did. But I love how he thinks of himself in regard to that. He says, I am the least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. So he's understanding that he's not where he is because of his, what he has done, you know, because of his own wonderful ways. It's not because of anything special about him. But he says, verse 10 of 1 Corinthians 15, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all the other apostles in the context there. Yet not I. So, yes, I did a whole bunch of work, labor, whatever. I did a lot of stuff, but it wasn't me. It was the grace of God, which was with me. That's what he's saying. So any labor that comes from our lives like this, we're not taking the credit for it. We're not saying that we did anything special, but it was the work of the Holy Spirit. You know, God is at work in you to will and to do according to his good pleasure. It's the grace of God that's with us. It's not something that we've worked up in our own flesh.
That's powerful stuff. Yeah, it's not just that people don't do anything. It's not that we're encouraging people just to not do anything.
Right.
You'll see throughout some of Paul's writings, he talks about how he had labored and worked for those to whom he was writing. But I love that in 1 Corinthians 15:10. It wasn't me so much as it was the grace of God in me. That's just awesome. You mentioned that there's a rest for us to enter into. Romans 4, verse 9, there remains therefore a rest for the people of God. For Hebrews. He who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his work as God did from his. Hebrews chapter 4. So we see there's this place of rest, ceasing from works, righteousness, salvation, and justification occurring apart from works, especially apart from works of the law that people couldn't live up to. Those Jewish people that Jesus told to repent, he wasn't telling them to get their act together and start doing the law better. He was trying to get them away from it. At least he was providing them with that introduction to get them thinking about it. So this is a beautiful thing that we have here in Christ. Repentance, again, it's not so much about what we're doing or not doing. So, I mean, you know, Joel, in my book, Clash of the Covenants, this thing about repenting, it's often so taken out of context. I see it constantly on social media. I dedicated an entire chapter to the topic of repentance and what's it mean and how is it misunderstood. And, you know, it's one of those things where you ask people, you know, go into a church, the old illustration we give from time to time. Let's see a show of hands here, people. Have you behaved and performed perfectly within the past week, or maybe the past day, the past month, without committing some type of sinful action or wrongful thought? Can we see a show of hands? Every head bowed and every eye closed. And so, you know, you see where I'm going with this, is that how perfect do you have to be with your behavior? You know, what kind of improvements do you really have to make before it is officially defined and certified as one who has repented?
Right.
Because if to repent means to stop sinning, then nobody has ever repented from that perspective. But again, it's just a change of mind. And a change of mind from a religious perspective, we've talked about the Jewish people that Jesus was talking to, but even today, for a lot of us, the change of mind was, oh, I just need to trust in what Jesus did on my behalf. That's really what this is about.
Yeah, it really is. And that's, I think some of this comes also from people not really, again, going back to this whole thing about rest, Jesus says, come to me and I will give you rest. Come to me, Jesus says, and I will give you rest. He doesn't say I'll give you a bunch of stuff to do, because he knows that anything that we do is, like we were talking about, like Paul said, it's going to be the work of God in us. It's going to be the work of his grace in us. It's not a list of things that we've been given to do that he's expecting us to just go out and accomplish. But we're working from, when we do labor, when we do that work, when it's his grace, it's from a place of rest. You were talking about, you know, chutes and ladders and the game where, you know, you're going up, you roll the dice, and then, oh, you get to go up a ladder. Oh, but then you go down a chute. I think in England when I was a boy, it was snakes and ladders. But anyway, you go sliding down a snake. But anyway, in the whole idea is
you just ruined the game for me, man.
Well, hey, I think a lot of our British friends will relate. Maybe, I don't know, because sometimes my memory's fuzzy on those things. But the object of the game is to get to the top. And so you're working to get to the top. Sometimes you slide down, sometimes you get to climb up. In grace, in Christ, we're already at the top. There's no chutes or snakes. There's no ladders. There's no rolling the dice. There's no trying to get to the top. We're there, and that's where we are living from. We're living from a place of His grace. We've entered into the rest. I know in that passage in Hebrews, you know, the writer talks about there remains a promise of entering His rest. And to me, I've gone back and forth in my mind about this, but I believe that he's talking about those Jewish people, the people of God, who have not believed yet. He does address them at the beginning of chapter 3 of Hebrews as holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling. But then he goes and talks about their fathers, the Jewish fathers who were in the wilderness. They were in rebellion, and the reason they couldn't enter the promised land was because of unbelief. The reason they could not enter, it says in verse 18 of 3, Hebrews 3:18, and to whom did he swear, did God swear, that they would not enter his rest, but to those who did not obey? And we see what he means by those who did not obey in the next verse. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. That's obedience in that context. That's those who didn't believe. Those were the ones who were not obeying. It's not that they weren't obeying a certain amount of works. They didn't believe. And then he says in verse 1 of chapter 4, therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. And the way that I see this is that he's talking again about his Jewish brethren who have, they're on the fence. They've heard the gospel. They've heard the good news. They've heard the word of grace, of the sacrifice of Jesus, and they're not believing. They are still in unbelief, and he wants them, those ones, he's saying, be diligent to enter, you know, labor to enter into his rest. And that word labor, to enter his rest, be diligent to enter his rest. It's not, he's not even talking about doing a work there. He's just saying, you know, take this seriously. You know, make sure that this is something that you do. Believe, and you will enter his rest. And a lot of these people, they'd been under the law, they'd been under the sacrifices of bulls and goats and other animals for centuries as a people, and now they're told about this one sacrifice of Christ. He's wanting them to believe that so that they can also enter into this rest, and they can cease from their works. You know, they're trying to keep the law, they're trying to do works to stay right with God. They can cease from all that, knowing that Christ has accomplished it all. So we who have believed, we have entered that rest, and that's where we stand. That's where we live our life from in Christ. And the labor that we do is from His grace.
This has been Growing in Grace with Mike Kapler and Joel Brizeke, heard online through various internet sources around the world each week. Access past programs by visiting growingingrace.org. Share it with a friend and listen again next week for more Growing in Grace.